in Valen's eyes, and sometimes he looked hurt, and sometimes he looked scared. Once, in a moment when he was not aware the captain was looking at him, the Russian's eyes seemed filled with a bottomless despair. The captain knew absolutely nothing of substance about the man, though.
"I don't see anything,"
said Valen, and the captain gave the order for floodlights. All at once, the empty and featureless black beyond the window revealed its secrets. A lumpy, converted tug lay wallowing in the swell, but the pitch and yawl were distorted, out of time with the water. It was only when the pilot angled around to come up on the stern that it became clear the boat was lashed to another craft by lines fore and aft.
"Want me to lay her alongside?"
asked the pilot, but Valen did not answer. The captain pitched his voice a bit louder.
"Sir, do you—"
Valen smiled.
"I heard you, Captain."
He was a tall, youthful, good-looking and well-built man in his mid-30s. Although he seldom spoke and never raised his voice, people tended to defer to him. Oruraka was like many of the new breed of Russians, smart, educated, focused, and political. In the post-Soviet days, someone like him would likely have been either a disillusioned officer, now sucking on the tit of organized crime, or he would be a civilian son born to a mafia family. One of those bred to step into the cracks in the Berlin Wall that everyone who grew up during the Cold War knew were forming. Not Oruraka. He was a different breed. Openly, he was a businessman who did geological survey work for the Russian government. Privately, very privately indeed, he was part of the Novye Sovietsky, the New Soviet. Still an ideal, but one that was flourishing quite well in darkness, and tended lovingly by old and new power players who wanted to see a new Union of Soviet Socialist Republics that truly lived up to the vision of Karl Marx. Oruraka was a party man in every way, even if that party existed in theory, in darkness. The captain and every man aboard this ship shared the same ideal, dreamed the same dreams. The pilot slowed the boat, but gave it just enough throttle for steerage way.
"Get some men on deck,"
ordered Valen from his vantage point on the rail.
"Rifles, do it now."
The captain growled an order, and six crewmen with Kalashnikovs hurried to the rail, barrels raised, eyes staring at the two tethered craft.
"Mr. Oruraka, look there,"
said the captain, pointing to an intense green glow coming from the small submarine.
"Maybe it's some kind of safety light?"
"No," said Valen. "I think the hatch is open. Damn.
Interior running lights in subs are usually red. Why would they use a green light?"
Valen did not answer. Instead, he frowned as he studied the two boats. The stark white lights revealed red splotches on the submarine's conning tower, on the sides of the gray hull, and also on the starboard rail of the converted tug. The red was not paint. Anyone could tell that. And it looked fresh, too. Still wet. Suddenly, a shadowy something rose up from behind the transom of the salvage boat.
"Christ, what's that?"
gasped the captain. One of the deckhands swung a spotlight, and there, frozen in the stark white beam, was a big, muscular young man with a Hawaiian face and torn clothes. His hair was wild, and there were bright splashes of red blood on his face and chest and hands. He stared into the light with eyes that were filled with terror and madness, and a desperate species of hope.
"Hey!"
he cried, waving his arms.
"Help! God, help me, please!"
The captain took up a megaphone out of metal clips on the outside of the pilot house.
"How many people are aboard?" he called.
"Me! Just me! Oh, God, it got them!"
wailed the young man.
"It came out of the sub and—"
He collapsed into broken sobs, covering his face with his hands. Then he jerked erect and looked back at the sub as if he'd suddenly heard some new sound.
"Please, for the love of God, get me off of here!"
The captain licked his lips.
"Do you, want me to send some hands aboard?"
"No,"
cried Valen sharply.
"No one sets foot on either of those boats."
"But